Hello and welcome to Component 2, The Culture of Healthcare. This is Unit 9, Sociotechnical Aspects, Clinicians and Technology. Lecture C, Sociotechnical Aspects of Healthcare. Let us begin by defining a sociotechnical system. This is an interaction between people and technology. These interactions can be straightforward or they can be quite complex. Organizational characteristics of a sociotechnical system are modified by this interaction for better or for worse. Optimization of one element, either the social element or the technical element, without close attention to the other element may be detrimental to the organization itself. Medicine and technology are closely interrelated, and one can make the argument that medicine has traditionally been dependent on technology for its progress. One example that illustrates this is the story of the microscope. Our story begins in Italy in the 14th century, when advances in optics led to a better understanding of lens making. In 1590, the Dutch lens maker Hans and Zacharias Janssen developed the microscope. Some years later, in 1675, Anton von Leeuwenhoek examined blood, insects, cells, even bacteria under the microscope. Now we travel forward to 1938, when Ernst Ruska developed electron microscopy that allowed researchers to have a detailed understanding of the structure of organs in health and in disease. So you can see that each incremental development in technology led to an advancement in medicine upon the back of the technology that was developed. Clinicians have historically integrated technology into their practice of medicine. For example, in 1816, René Laennec invented the stethoscope. The stethoscope has been considerably refined since then. It's now lighter, it has improved acoustic properties, a diaphragm was added, and now even an electronic version of the stethoscope is available. And clinicians have adopted iterative modifications of technology into their practice in order to improve patient care. Technology is now the primary driving force of medicine. So much so that a vast array of technological resources are available in clinical practice. In surgery, in radiology, in pharmacy, assistive technology, in medical education. And the availability of an electronic health record has changed the paradigm of information collection, storage, and recovery in medicine. An example of how significant the impact of technology has been in the practice of medicine. Technology has assisted researchers in the design and evaluation of their research projects and has even assisted in the evolution of the scientific method. For example, complex statistical calculations and studies were once performed by humans, but now software such as SPSS is extensively used for the same tasks. Technology helps to advance reproducible scientific breakthrough. For example, after the discovery of penicillin, technology was key in refining its production, in its use, and at a time when penicillin stores were scarce, in recycling penicillin in order to use it on multiple patients. Technology is essential to practice some forms of medicine. For example, Robert G. Edwards received the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2010 for developing the technique of in vitro fertilization. His practice would have been impossible without the assistance of technology. There has been an explosive increase in the amount of the medical literature published in the second half of the 20th century, a vast increase in the amount of information that is now available to clinicians. Much of this information is rapidly superseded by newer, more pertinent data. But some information improves patient care, and so clinicians need to constantly update their knowledge base. In the past, clinicians relied on textbooks and on consulting other clinicians for information needs. Now, there is an increasing reliance on the online database of medical literature that is easily accessible via the internet. Another factor is that advances in technology require clinicians to learn new skills. Let's use the example of changes in cardiac pacemaker technology to illustrate this. Invasive cardiologists need to update their skills in an iterative fashion as advances in technology transforms the products and procedures that they are trained to use. However, the primary focus of clinical medicine remains the clinician-patient relationship. The patient and clinician establish this relationship during a clinical visit and foster it during subsequent encounters. However, technology is changing this as well. Now there is a third focus in the room in addition to the clinician and the patient. There is a computer in the room. We will now begin to examine the phenomenon of change in the context of healthcare. Change is an alteration in organizational structure or an alteration in organizational function. And organizations are in a constant state of change. The extensive use of technology in healthcare hastens these cycles of changes. Implementation of technology may be entirely transparent to the end user and may be welcomed by individuals and groups. For example, most physicians embraced pagers and cell phone technology because it allowed them to be reached and respond remotely, the freedom to address patient care issues from locations other than the bedside. However, some technologies are intrusive and significantly change the workflow. For example, EHR implementation in the clinical setting. Now, as change occurs in a healthcare organization, the process of change occurs in parallel to the process of delivery of healthcare. Clinicians can't stop taking care of patients while they perfect changes. In the past, the clinical workflow of physicians was independent of technology. Physicians could see patients, write orders, and plan for care without intersecting significantly with technology. Now, with the advent of the electronic health record, there's an interdependence between social and technical aspects of patient care. Changes in technical aspects require clinicians to make substantial changes to the way they deliver patient care. Significant change in the healthcare industry is frequently accompanied by a phenomenon that is termed resistance to change. Resistance to change is the action taken by individuals and groups when they perceive that the change is a threat to them. There are three phases of change. Firstly, there is a phase of inertia. This then leads to the second phase, which is the phase of transition. Once transition is complete, the organization reaches a new steady state and the third phase, achievement of the new model. Resistance to change is inevitable since many individuals and groups tend to defend the status quo. So how do we overcome resistance to change? One key initial step is to involve all stakeholders before implementing the change. Another method is to create effective lines of communication. Champions are special people who may help the organization to push forward and overcome resistance to change from naysayers. Organizations also attempt to alleviate fears that may be contributing to the phenomenon of resistance. Individuals and groups collaborate to solve problems, and organizations often actively elicit feedback in order to overcome resistance to change. We will now turn our attention to the intersection of work processes and technology. The healthcare environment is complex, and clinicians have developed their own work processes. They use multiple tools to assist them at work. For example, a physician may use a stethoscope, a radiology technician may use a CT scanner to help them perform their healthcare duties. Technology has become an essential component of workflow. For example, a physician may see 20 patients a day in her clinic and now depends on the electronic health record to provide data, help answer her clinical questions, solve problems, and as a documentation or scheduling tool. New technology requires clinicians to adapt their work processes, and this requires complex adjustments. For example, a clinician who sees a change in her EHR will need to learn new techniques to master the software to continue to provide the same degree of patient care as she did prior to the new EHR implementation. And the implementation of technology, technological change, may be accompanied by unintended consequences. Changes in workflow may be a step backwards for overall system efficiency. Clinicians may be unable to adapt to the change. For example, in 2002, Cedars-Sinai Hospital in California put in an electronic health record. This was followed by a revolt by physicians, and Cedars-Sinai had to abandon the implementation after 3 months. Outcome measures may not be positive. Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh implemented clinician-physician order entry, or CPOE, in its ICU and subsequently reported an alarming increase in mortality rates. Now, implementation of technology is just as important as the technology itself or the system that it is implemented in. The findings at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh could not be replicated when other pediatric hospitals implemented their electronic health record, the same electronic health record that was put in at Pittsburgh. And this suggested that the Pittsburgh implementation was flawed, and the flawed implementation had devastating unintended consequences. So how do organizations manage socio-technical change? They look for the right people for the right tasks at all levels to lead change. They ensure that people and technology work together. Organizations make a fundamental choice. Either they adapt work processes to new technology or adapt technology to current workflow processes. Now, new technology can be designed to improve work processes and as a consequence improve it. Adapting work processes requires leadership to carefully manage and curate the change, but adapting technology to current work processes is counterproductive in most cases because there's no significant long-term improvement in care. While it may help to streamline some aspects of workflow, it's a less agile method and less adaptable to future change. One primary axiom of managing socio-technical change is the fact that new technology can be designed that will improve work processes, and the work processes can be adapted to new technology. Let us now look at the impact of socio-technical change. There are significant effects when socio-technical processes are changed by organizations. Quality measures improve, and process improvement is seen. There are also some improvements in outcome measures that can be demonstrated as a consequence of successful socio-technical changes. There are improvements in efficiency with enhanced workflow. For example, improving the technology of electronic health records allows better ways to capture information and document encounters. This allows clinicians to spend more time talking with patients as opposed to documenting the visit. There are improved efficiencies of processes, such as using a lower dose of radiation to obtain a CT scan in a newer generation CT scanner model. There are also improvements in safety with a reduction in errors. One example of error reduction is afforded by clinical decision support. For example, the availability of information embedded in the electronic health record helps the clinician make good decisions. Medication errors are also reduced as a consequence of successful socio-technical change. For example, barcoding medications in patients allows mistakes in medication administration. And of course, one impact of socio-technical change is that there have been changes in job descriptions in the past few years. There is a role for new experts in healthcare IT, a role for clinicians who are technologists, and technical specialists who have exposure to the clinical environment.